Recording started. This is Jason Nemro. It is getting toward the end of January 2013. And I'm off on a big trip to Stephen Home right now. And head off to Raft Home. Get there late, probably. Clock or so. It's been an interesting day in that I was planning a whole different day rather than what I ended up doing. And as usual, it's probably a pretty good thing that all this came to pass. So, I am reasonably well watched over. And my problem is my bad memory, you know? I really forget sometimes how well I'm kind of taken care of during this interesting time of my life. And, I trust it more. Yesterday I was getting, you know, I often get very upset, you know, when I read my patriarchal blessing and I see what I'm supposed to be doing. I get antsy. I think I can antsy it myself. I get a little upset at God because it just doesn't seem to be really happening. And I'm sure it has more to do with just being impatient. And that's the buzzword, is that we need to be patient as much as we can be. Patient. And I'm not very good at that, and I really work sometimes because I do. I get really upset, and I hope that. I do hope that Heavenly Father is kindly to me. Well, number one, I know he is on one level. I hope I don't antagonize him to the point that he just says, you know what, forget you, you know? This is, I bless you all the time, and you come back, and you just And I do. You know, I'm not going to sit here and try to deny the fact that I do that. I just need to relax more, which I'm really truly bad at. You know, I've never been good at relaxing at all, and terribly hard on myself. You know, I guess that ends up just being the answer to everything is, you know. You're just kind of hard on yourself, man. Quit being so hard on yourself. It's tough. I think it's tougher for other people to finish. Poor Lisa has to put it. So much with these tirades I tend to have. And work on the extended family. You know, I feel that's pretty important. And we continue to work on the Nefigiri. Past that, so you know, this first book needs to be pulled together. The extended family, which I think has maybe a little bit to do with you know, it's going to be kind of a transitional book because I am going to talk about Nefigiri and how I think something like this could happen in a place like Nefigiri. You know, and then, of course, how it would happen in a place like Shetland. And I need to get on that quickly because, frankly, I'm kind of opening up possibilities. And with what I'm putting out on Shetland, of course, I don't know who that touches. Pays attention to that. But you know what? The whole thing is, you just never know, you know? I was listening to Dan Carlin. And Dan's latest episode of his Common Sense podcast kind of revealed that he said somebody was listening to his podcast and introduced him to some pretty strategic people, mostly military people, and the whole line of what do you think we should be doing to, you know, in the future. Central Command, which is the Middle East, current hot spot, about what one should be doing, what one should be advising. These are mostly the advisors. These are people that you know, it isn't mid-level management. It's a little bit higher than that. So you would think that these people would advise, you know, cabinet secretary, people of that sort of level. And kind of interesting because he said this thing just popped up out of the blue. He said, in fact, when I was contacted, you know, it was like, is this a joke? You know, is somebody pulling my leg? Is somebody playing with me? And he finally called the organization and said, oh no, this is not a joke, you know, we're going to send you your plane ticket, and you'll be on the red eye. You'll come to this meeting, and you'll be back home. And it's like, wow. And then it actually happened. It was all based on something that he had said in the podcast. One episode where he talks about, you know, we can talk about this stuff all day long, but we need to formulate some kind of plan to do something. And it's like, wow, I don't, okay. And he said, I didn't plan, you know, this wasn't my trajectory. This wasn't my my, you know, I didn't have some plan that this was ultimately the goal, that one day I would be sitting in one of these meetings. I never thought that or saw that. It's very interesting. You know, these were guys that had PhDs from prestigious universities, and they didn't really have any of his background because they could. There's really nothing available. They said they came. They ended up putting on kind of the sheet that talks about what your background is. They pretty much put out there that what was on Wikipedia. He said the funny thing about Wikipedia is I didn't write that. Somebody else did. Most of it was wrong. So I don't know what's going to happen with these essays that I do, with the things that I write, but I'm interested in finding out where these things may ultimately go. What may ultimately become of it. And I like the efforts I'm involved in, although I can't say that most of my essay writing is just, you know, commentary on things I think about triggered by news stories or things like that. You know, it really ends up being kind of triggered by just whatever happens to show up on my radar screen. So it is. It's all over the place. Quite, because I really don't know what's going to catch hold. And I've been interested in what catches hold on that thing, you know? At first, it was the gay stuff. Like, I've had, you know, my highest scoring blog post was the big gay one. You know, marriage is just tenuous enough for gays. But then, what let me tell you, something that's just taken off, it got 44 hits, where the gay one only had 10, and this one's only been out for probably about, 3 weeks, I think, is the one about the psychic proximity principle. And I've been thinking that it's probably just the word psychic has kind of latched on to a lot of people, you know. So I don't know. At some point, perhaps, something may come about from it, you know. We shall see. But regardless, I must say that, trying to hang in there. The patient. And I did bring up once to Lisa, and she reminded me of it last night, and I was just, I just want something to happen! I'm just going crazy, you know? And you're going, I don't feel like we're really you know, that we are really getting ahead on anything. I feel like we're just slipping, you know, we're not. We're not deeply in debt, but, you know, we're not getting out of debt, staying out of debt, you know, it's just, seems like you can do that every now and then all of a sudden you're right back, you've fallen right back into it again. I know Lisa's doing everything she can, she does a wonderful job, and I never, ever, ever say anything bad about what she's doing. But I really struggle with, you know, if my income went up $10,000, tomorrow, if something I wrote all of a sudden generated $10,000, I would be back out of debt again. Well, you know, at least I wouldn't have credit card debt. So stuff that I owe my mother. And, that's a good thing, yes. You know, it wouldn't take much. More than what we have now. So, you know, I don't think I have too much. You know, I don't really think it's really a question of how much money. It's a question of being that kind of person. And that right now I can't be. You know? My mother could be that kind of a person. It's a combination of a few things, I suppose. But, no, you know, I don't know. Can't really say. Let's see what happens. You know? I want something to happen. But if it's gonna have to happen, what happens? Question of getting things pulled together, or if it's something else. Anyway, I really don't have anything to talk about. A couple of years ago, I had tried to pull together something where at least I could watch the video because it just, you know, it just slapped me when I was, a couple of years ago. So I finally got around to being able to find the downloadable version, came and showed it to Lisa, and now that I've shown it to her, I think I'm just going to get rid of it because now it seems so small, it seems so petty. and I find myself more enamored of other things, which I think are very interesting. Like documentaries, the last few documentaries I've seen that really kind of impressed me, or that really said, you know, this is interesting. There was one about a guy who he didn't buy an island, he was given an island. I seem to believe that before this, he was the editor of a magazine or a newspaper somewhere. And he got given the silence, so he gave up the newspaper. He lives on a silence. Managed it, and apparently did a wonderful job of managing it. And now the whole thing is, people want to come and buy, you know, people who want to do, like, vacation resorts. They want to buy a sign. Now, I'm scared to death that they're just going to rip the whole place up, you know, put in a whole bunch of really expensive bungalows and not really take care of the place as he has. He brought in all kinds of trees from all over the world, you know, and he's got a partner with him, and they cared for the island together, and then he died. And he's already got a burial spot picked out, you know, where they're going to bury him. And that was really kind of an interesting thing. I said, what an interesting thing to spend, you know, the rest of your life doing. And he's got a really just a modest kind of old cabin that he lives in. I don't, you know, apparently he was, you know, just as well-heeled as any newspaper chief editor type person is. And, gave his life over. So that's the one that really says, wow, that was really kind of cool. The next one is what happened? Okay, well, alright. Sure. It takes some time for that to pull itself together. You know, it might take 5, 10 minutes. Okay. Is that been going?
Yes, that's why I asked.
Sure thing. Okay, come on. What has happened? Most of my life, interesting. Oh, I'm gonna have to stop here. So now probably be a pretty good time to go ahead and pause this.
So I'm gonna have to stop and get some provisions and eat a little bit. Because I don't want to do it wherever I'm headed, so. Okay. We are back. Scrape. I got food. Lots of food, actually. Anyway. Let's do a documentary watch. Is it 82 degrees? It's really quite warm outside. Unseasonably warm. It's likely to stay that way. At least the temperature's going to stay in the 70s for a couple more days. Go down this one road I'm going on. That's weird. Usually nobody takes this road. Anyway. Next movie I'm thinking about. Called, I'm not sure what it's called. It might have a subtitle, Life on the Mesa. It's about these people who, live just across the Rio Grande, Grand Bridge from Taos, New Mexico, and out there in old beat-up cars, RVs, thrown together houses. Kind of a no man's land. Where nobody goes. A lot of smoke marijuana. Good deal off for ex-veterans that just don't cope well with society. Interesting personality, and I find that I respect the people, you know.
I had Mary Lee,
I wouldn't be surprised if I would be out in one of those places. Although I'm not much of a, you know, have guns to defend themselves. They take handouts from the local food bank cows. Anyway. Here one called. I think if you put it in a search engine, double Mesa documentary, I think you'll probably hit on it. Right down on it. On my laptop right now. Interesting to look at what kind of social forms grow up. Vacuum. What grows out of different people, you know? If I can define good, as you will, bad, in some frankly, this is pretty unlikely place. I think I started up the whole tirade yesterday. Lisa bought me a book. Called Handmade Houses. A lot of it has to do with the back to land movement. The early 70s. I collected a lot of issues in the Mother Earth News. The really early ones. And it was amazing what they were. They were pulling off. And she said to me, her basic comment is, you can't do this anymore, can you? Because of all these laws and stuff. Now, if you get away from people enough, it may not matter. But, you know, I'm and bound by covenant to obey the law, even if it's stupid or silly or counterproductive or things like that. I still have to obey. So there's a straitjacket.
Shut down.
Makes you crazy. A lot. My hope stuff that this is actually kind of a possibility. When you're done, just come back and say, you know, say, I have no interest in that. I thought your concerns were a little small. You know, I don't think I can do this. Too hot during the summer. I said, well, then you make an exception, so don't do that. I understand, Lisa. She's a very typical person. She has her vision of how things are supposed to be, and she doesn't need any from it much at all. Except she got this handmade houses book, and she says, these are really cool. And it's like, you really think so? Of course, most of them were built by architects, and when they say, how much do you think this thing's worth, they go, oh, several million dollars. And it's like, oh. And the fact that comes back and says, and it's really illegal, you can't do this unless you got engineers standing out. She said it was amazing. She goes, they seem to be so organic. They would get some materials and they'd add on to the room. And didn't have a plan or anything.
I went, well, you know. I said, but, you know, you can't.
You are allowed to build that way now. You know, everything has to go into the planning council. They have to approve it all, and you can't make changes unless the planning council approves changes. You know? I said, the whole, you know, it said, oh, people go, oh, yes, but we're trying to preserve safety. And you go, yeah. You go, I wish you would let people determine what kind of safety they want to come up with rather than just dictating to everybody what safety is going to look like. But what can you do? I was reading the rough scan and OCR optical character recognition. Of a script of A Man for All Seasons. A movie that I love. I love the character of Thomas More. It took several days to get to the plane. The distraction, stuff like that. Our time finished at late last night. Everybody got to bed. Everybody tried to finish in the style of Shakespeare. And some people just pulled out some hair. This is a situation where they couldn't pull out. Also written the biography of Thomas More. By his son-in-law, William Roper, who is an unabashed Thomas More fan. Given by the common man, who plays several roles in this play. He plays Matthew, who is Sir Thomas's butler. Servant, head of house, and the man that was selling about Thomas More. He justified by saying it was common knowledge. We went into this whole rationalization about how
can to take the money.
And one night he got paid three times for
revealing things
about Sir Thomas. By his own admission, he said he made more that night than he would the fortnight doing his job. The con man also played the movement who was trying to get more money out of Sir Thomas for taking him home. But also, he also played the jailer, Mr. Thomas was the crew. A guy who constantly fled for no trouble, because he didn't want any trouble, even if it was his job. The common man ultimately went well with social commentary. And there's one statement he made, I don't know if he was playing a character or if he was just being himself. Point, a moral torment. And that's the whole thing the thing is about, is this huge morality play. I'm not going to be worried about things. Where today is scraping by, which I know people say, well, you make that much money, but unlike everybody else, my wife doesn't go out and make 22 to add the income. Don't I can't say that I do. I think I used to be happier when I was younger. But I was more ignorant of people and things.
My children
don't sign on to these kind of concepts. You know, you do this, I'll give you this. You guys are like crows sometimes, Bridget. You throw a trinket at them, and, you know, they'll do anything for you to get it. Take advantage of that. I don't really know. Really don't know how to. How to deal with that. Mulling over. There isn't really anything new except, you know, different sources to pull from. I don't know if people, when looking at a man for all seasons, who they would rather be. I have to say, most of the people that I would try and rub shoulders with would probably be very happy being Richard Richman, who took opportunity seemed a little reluctant at times to sell his soul, but in the end was perfectly willing to do so. If the price was high almost madman. Repeating things that he had heard in school. And by the end, he was a knight. See him knighted? And was the Attorney General for Wales. Well on his way to a fine political career. We know that he did well because ultimately he became Lord Chancellor himself. got actually closer than I am. On the way to handle this. Already.
I'm in a sticky place, but not. I'm in a place mind-bending, I'll give you that. Try to do God's work so far as I can, not knowing exactly what such work will be. But apparently, I'll be doing better with it ultimately. Let that go. Have a nice day.